For over 45 years, Pensacola Christian College has enjoyed many encouraging and helpful messages from our faculty and staff, as well as guest speakers. Today's Chapel Podcast is a recording from our archives.
This morning, I'd like to preach to you a message that's not one of my sugar sticks, but it is a message that I wish that I had heard 10 years ago when I was sitting in a college chapel, and a message that I wish I would have heeded. I call it the beautiful story of the ugly sister. So let's read Genesis chapter 29, verses 15 through 35. And Laban said unto Jacob, "Because thou art my brother, shouldest thou therefore serve me for naught? Tell me, what shall thy wages be?" And Laban had two daughters. The name of the elder was Leah, and the name of the younger was Rachel. Leah was tender-eyed, but Rachel was beautiful and well-favored. And Jacob loved Rachel and said, "I will serve thee 7 years for Rachel, thy younger daughter." And Laban said, "It is better that I give her to thee than that I should give her to another man. Abide with me." And Jacob served 7 years for Rachel, and they seemed unto him but a few days for the love he had to her. And Jacob said unto Laban, "Give me my wife, for my days are fulfilled, that I may go in unto her." And Laban gathered together all the men of the place and made a feast. And it came to pass in the evening that he took Leah his daughter and brought her to him, and he went in unto her. And Laban gave unto his daughter Leah Zilpah his maid for an handmaid. And it came to pass that in the morning, behold, it was Leah. And he said to Laban, "What is this thou hast done unto me? Did not I serve with thee for Rachel? Wherefore then hast thou beguiled me?" And Laban said, "It must not be so done in our country to give the younger before the firstborn. Fulfill her week, and we will give thee this also for the service which thou shalt serve with me yet 7 other years. And Jacob did so and fulfilled her week. And he gave him also Rachel, his daughter, to wife also. And Laban gave to Rachel, his daughter, Bilhah, his handmaid, to be her maid. And he went in also unto Rachel, and he loved also Rachel more than Leah, and served with him yet 7 other years. And when the Lord saw that Leah was hated, he opened her womb, but Rachel was barren. And Leah conceived and bare a son, and she called his name Reuben, for she said, 'Surely the Lord hath looked upon my affliction. Now therefore my husband will love me.' And she conceived again and bare a son, and said, 'Because the Lord hath heard that I was hated, he hath therefore given me this son also.' And she called his name Simeon. And she conceived again and bare a son, and said, 'Now this time my husband will be joined unto me, because I have borne him 3 sons. Therefore was his name called Levi. And she conceived again and bare a son. And she said, 'Now will I praise the Lord.' Therefore she called his name Judah, and left bearing." Before we get into breaking down the passage this morning, I need to give you a few important pieces of background information that you need to understand if you're going to understand what just unfolded in the scripture. Background information number one: Jacob is the chosen son in the chosen family. It all started when God came to Abraham and said, "I'm going to bless the whole world, and I'm going to do it through your family." And in every generation of Abraham's family, there would be a chosen son. Jacob was one of 2 sons, his brother Esau, and he was the chosen son. He would be the one that bore the blessing. And the prophecy was that one day from one of those chosen sons would come the chosen son, the Son of God. So Jacob was the chosen son in the chosen family. But though he's the chosen son, he doesn't act like the chosen son. And Jacob's a deceiver. He cheats his brother Esau out of the birthright. He deceives his blind father Isaac into giving him the blessing of the firstborn. If you remember the story, Esau is so furious with his brother that he determines to kill him. So Jacob goes on the run. His mother told him, "Go to Haran, the place where I grew up. Live with my brother Laban, Jacob's uncle." So Jacob goes to Laban literally with nothing but the clothes on his back, and Laban takes him in. And for a month, Jacob goes out to work for Laban every day. And finally, after a month, Laban sees management potential in Jacob. And he says, I want you to stay here working for Laban Incorporated. What should your wages be? And Jacob doesn't have to think about it very long, because he's already met Laban's younger daughter, Rachel. And he says to Laban, give me Rachel. She is the most beautiful thing I have ever seen. I want to be her husband. I want her to be my wife. I will work for you for 7 years if I can marry Rachel. Can you even imagine loving someone so much that you would work for them every day for 7 years just for the right to marry them? And by the way, some of you guys who are sitting next to your girlfriend in chapel this morning, go ahead and write a note that says, I'd do that for you, babe. I give you my permission. It'll be okay. So that's exactly what Jacob does. He goes to work for 7 years to marry Rachel. Now, typically when we read this story, we focus on the love that Jacob had for Rachel. And it's a wonderful love story. But there's another character in this story that is often forgotten. Her name is Leah. And she's the character in this story that touches my heart. She's the ugly sister. But in spite of the pain and the disappointment and the hopelessness that Leah experiences in her life and in her marriage with Jacob, God gives her a beautiful story and uses her in an extraordinary way. The beautiful story of the ugly sister teaches me three things about myself and then three things about God. Three things I learned about myself from this passage. Number one, I am inadequate in many ways. I'm inadequate in many ways. Look again at verse 17. It says, Leah was tender-eyed, but Rachel was beautiful and well-favored. Now, how many of you know that the biblical writer is not just making a comment on Leah's eyesight? There's a contrast being established here. If he was just making a comment on her eyesight, it would say, Leah was tender-eyed, but Rachel had 20/20. That's not what it says. It says, Leah was tender-eyed, but Rachel was beautiful and well-favored. Leah probably did have some physical deformity with her eyes, but it caused her to be ugly. One Hebrew commentator said that in Hebrew, the word Leah means cow. I don't care what culture you're from or what language you speak, naming a young lady cow is never a compliment. I imagine that every time Leah looked in the mirror, she struggled with feelings of inadequacy. Don't you? And if that wasn't bad enough, her younger sister was born naturally beautiful, a real knockout. Every day, her younger sister's beauty was celebrated. Every day, she was reminded that she was the ugly sister. And here's what I want you to know this morning, young people. In at least one area of our lives, we are all the ugly sister. We're all either too skinny, too fat, too poor, too dumb, too unathletic, too plain. Every single one of us looks at other people and says, you know, I wish I had her looks, or I wish I had his talent, or I wish I would have been born into that kind of family. We all know deep down that we're not everything we should be. We're inadequate. And our physical inadequacies or our financial inadequacies or our mental inadequacies are only symptoms of a much deeper inadequacy. We all know deep down that there is a God and that we have all fallen far short of what He created us to be. Each of us comes short of the glory of a holy God. And I want you to take a look at your life and realize that at least in one area, you're the ugly sister. We are all inadequate in many ways. Number two, life is filled with pain and disappointment. That's a reminder of this. After Jacob has worked every day for 7 years, he goes to Uncle Laban and says, it's been 7 years, give me Rachel. In those days, they had a week-long wedding feast. And the bride would wear a full veil all day long during the ceremony. On the first night of the wedding feast, Jacob went into his tent and there his bride was. And he must have thought, finally I have my Rachel. Finally I have the one that I've been living for. Finally I have the one that I've been working for. Finally I have the one that will make my life complete. But when Jacob awoke in the morning and the sunlight came streaming into his tent, the Bible says it in a striking way, behold, it was Leah. It was the ugly sister. So Jacob gets right up, marches out of his tent, goes to his uncle Laban's tent, knocks on his door, says, Uncle Laban, you low down, no good, dirty dog. I worked 7 years for Rachel and you gave me Leah? You see what's happened here? The deceiver has been deceived. The trickster has been tricked. What he sowed, he has reaped. Just imagine the disappointment Jacob must have felt after working for 7 years to marry the one that he loved, only to discover he'd been tricked into marrying the ugly sister. But now put yourself in Leah's sandals for a moment, if you will. You're finally getting married. You finally found someone that thinks you're beautiful, someone that will love you, someone that will accept you, only to find out he didn't want you in the first place. Only to find out your dad, to try to find someone to marry you, had to trick that person into marrying you. Laban says to Jacob, Jacob, just fulfill her week. Be faithfully married to Leah for 7 days, and after 7 days is over, I'll give you Rachel. So here's Leah. She's grown up in the shadow of her beautiful sister all her life. She's married to the man that she thinks will love and accept her for only 1 week, and then he marries the beautiful younger sister, and she's once again in her shadow and will be for the rest of her life. You know, we're all like Jacob, and we're all like Leah. Like Jacob, we spend most of our lives thinking, if I could just have this, if I could just have her, if I could just have him, I would have everything I need. Then my life would be whole. Then I could be happy. Or like Leah, if I could just have the love of my husband, then I wouldn't be ugly. Then I'd be beautiful. Oh, would you listen to me this morning? No matter what earthly thing or person we put our ultimate hopes in, it will always disappoint. One writer said it this way, we will think it's Rachel, but in the morning it will always be Leah. Life is filled with pain and disappointment. Number three, this story reminds me that we're all looking for love and acceptance. I think verses 32 through 34 are some of the saddest verses in all the Bible. We read there that for many years, God closed the womb of Rachel and she couldn't have any children. By the way, that was an act of grace toward Leah so Jacob would pay her some attention. The only way for Jacob to have a child was through Leah. She must have been so excited when she found out she was expecting. And that excitement must have grown and been doubled when she found out that she was giving birth to a baby boy. Oh, the firstborn son was everything in that culture. She named that firstborn son Reuben. It means see a son. She said, the Lord has seen me, and now Jacob will love me. But did he? No, he didn't. Because the next time she has a son, she names that next boy Simeon. It means heard. The Lord has heard that my husband hated me. And then she has another son. She names him Levi, and it means joined. She says, this time, now that I've given him three sons, this time Jacob will join himself to me. He'll forget my sister. He will love me. Do you see what's happening here? Every time Leah has a son, she thinks it will earn her the love and acceptance of her husband. This time he'll love me. This time he'll forget my sister. Listen to me this morning. We all do this. Because we know we've fallen short, and because we know that in one or many areas of our lives we're the ugly sister, we live to earn the approval of others and ultimately of God. Here's what we think. If I can make good enough grades, or score enough points for the ball team, or land a great job, or get that prestigious degree, or have the perfect family, then people will love me. Then God will love me. Then I won't be Leah. Then I will be Rachel. But listen to me. It never works. If you have to earn love and acceptance, then you can always lose it when you don't do enough or when someone else does more. Personally, over the years, I've looked to earn love and acceptance through ministry. The acceptance that comes from doing well in ministry and seeing people respond to altar calls and seeing ministries grow and being praised by people has become something like a drug of choice to me. I want you to know it's so easy to get addicted to the praise of other people. And I admit to you this morning, in many ways, I'm a recovering addict. When I was a youth pastor, it was if I could just get 100 kids in my youth department, then I'll be really happy, then I'll be satisfied. And we would have a big activity and we'd have 100 kids show up, and the next morning I'd be just as empty as I was the day before. And then I became the director of an RU addictions ministry, and I thought if I could ever get 100 students to my RU ministry, then I'll be happy, then I'll be whole, then I'll be satisfied. And we'd have a big night and we'd get 100 students there, and I'd be just as empty the next morning. Then it was if I can become an associate pastor, and then it was if I could become a senior pastor, and it could go on and on and on and on, and it never made me happy. It is so easy in ministry to live and die by every altar call, every attendance report, and every offering. And here's what I found. Ministry is a wonderful vocation, a wonderful calling, but it is a terrible God. And listen to me. The same is true with any good gift from God. For some of you, you think, if I could just find a boyfriend or a girlfriend and get married, I'd be happy. For some, it's your performance on social media. If you get enough likes and shares that day, you're through the roof. But if no one likes and no one shares, your day is ruined. For others, it's performance in the classroom. For others, it's the career you hope to have or the money that you hope to make or the idea of a perfect family. I'm going to tell you something this morning that I wish I would have learned 10 years ago. We should never base our identity on our performance. We should never base our identity on what we do. God's pleasure in you is not based on your performance. And I want you to let that sink down into your soul this morning, young person. God's pleasure in you is not based in your performance. God's pleasure in you is based on Christ's performance for you. If you're saved, you are a son or daughter of the King. You're accepted in the Beloved. You're adopted into the family of God. And if who you are in Christ and your relationship with Him isn't enough for you now, it won't be enough when you get that degree. It won't be enough when you get married. It won't be enough when you get that great job or when you get to preach at that big conference. We are all looking for love and acceptance. And by virtue of our sin nature, we are all looking in the wrong places. And Leah's story reminds me of that. Let's get back to the story. I can only imagine Leah's heartbreak after having Levi. She's given Jacob 3 sons now. And he still hates her and loves her sister. Would you enter in with your imagination to this story for just a moment? And imagine the heartbreak Leah must have felt after that third boy, and Jacob still didn't love her. Oh, this morning I can see her tears. I can hear her cries. And if that's where this story ends, with Rachel and Jacob in love and Leah heartbroken and all alone, then this is the ugly story of the ugly sister. But I'm glad to report to you this morning that there is another character we need to introduce, and that's the Lord. And we learned 3 things about the Lord in this passage, and we'll hit them quickly. Number 1, God is attracted to broken people. God is attracted to broken people. Look at what it says in verse 31. It says, "And when the Lord saw that Leah was hated, he opened her womb." Do you get that? It says the Lord saw her. Everyone in her life wanted to look away from Leah, except for the Lord. He saw her. And I want you to know there is something wonderful in the character of our God that causes him to be attracted to broken people. Psalm 34:18 says, "The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit." Religion says if you can clean yourself up or do enough good works to make yourself appealing to God, then he will love you and use you. The Bible says the opposite. The Bible says when the Lord saw that she was hated, he opened up her womb. God wasn't looking for a beautiful thing. He wasn't looking for a strong thing. He was looking for a weak thing. He was looking for a broken thing. He was looking for a hated thing. Because when he moved into her life and transformed her and used her, there would be no doubt as to who would get the glory. And I want you to know that God is still working the same way today. He's not always looking for the strong person. He's not always looking for the rich person. He's not always looking for the person from the perfect family. He's looking for a weak person. And if you've ever thought, I'm too dumb, I'm too ugly, I'm too young, I'm too messed up for God to use, then you are exactly the kind of person that God wants to use. And I want to report to you this morning that if God wasn't attracted to broken people, he would have never been attracted to someone like me. I'm glad this morning God's attracted to broken people. Let's learn another thing. Not only is God attracted to broken people, but God transforms broken people into beautiful people. Every time she had a child, Leah said, "This time my husband will see me, hear me, and be joined to me." And every time she was disappointed. No matter how hard she tried, Jacob still loved Rachel and he still hated her. But in the middle of her pain and brokenness, something amazing happened. Leah began to call on the name of the Lord. You know, when you see in your Bible those capital letters for the word Lord, it's the word Jehovah. That's the covenant name for God. That's the family name for God. That's the name you use when you are intimate with God. By the time she had her fourth child, Judah, Leah figured something out. She may not have been loved by Jacob, but praise God, she was loved by Jehovah. And she may not have been accepted by Jacob, but she was accepted by Jehovah. She may not have been beautiful in the eyes of Jacob, but she was beautiful in the eyes of Jehovah. And I want to tell you something, young people. God does not value us because we're valuable. We are valuable because God values us. God does not love us because we're beautiful. We are beautiful because God loves us. And when you understand that and let it sink down into your soul, it frees you from trying to make yourself beautiful or strong in the eyes of other people. Leah had found in the love of God a love that was infinitely more satisfying than even the love of her husband could be. And she said, "This time, I will praise the Lord." Her relationship with God had become the most important joy-giving reality in her life. And God had taken her pain and turned it into praise. You know what it says? She left bearing. She stopped trying to earn Jacob's acceptance. Because when you know you have the acceptance of the only one that really matters, then what does it matter when one of 7 billion people doesn't accept you? Do you see what's happened here? God has taken a self-conscious, insecure, broken person and turned her into a strong and confident and beautiful person. And that's what our God does. He takes broken people and makes them beautiful. There's one more lesson we need to learn from Leah's story. And that is that God uses broken people to change the world. I told you earlier that God would change the world through a chosen son that would come from Jacob's family. Remember, Jacob was that chosen son, and he would end up having 12 sons, but only one would be chosen. You know which son was chosen, don't you? The Lord Jesus is called the Lion of the tribe of Judah. And it is meaningful to me that when God looked for someone to change the world, he didn't look for one of the sons of the beautiful sister. He looked for the son of the ugly sister. God delights in using weak and ordinary people in extraordinary ways so that he gets all the glory. Remember what 1 Corinthians 1 says? It says, "For ye see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called, but God had chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. God had chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty." God uses broken people to change the world. There was once a broken little girl who came from a broken family. She was conceived as the result of an adulterous affair between her mother and a man that was married to someone else. When the father discovered that she was pregnant, he told the mother to give the baby up for adoption and wanted to sell it to the highest bidder. The mother did give the baby up for adoption, but not to the highest bidder, to a preacher and his wife that were unable to have a child. And though those parents did a wonderful job loving and raising that young lady, all her life she struggled with feelings of inadequacy. All her life she felt unloved and unwanted. But at the age of 15, that young lady received Jesus Christ as her Savior. At 18, she went off to Bible college and married a preacher. She eventually became a pastor's wife. That little broken life that no one would have thought was worth much grew into the woman that I would marry and that would become my wife. And God took a broken thing and made it beautiful, and he's using it to change the world. That's the way he works. Think about our Savior for a moment. Born in a cattle stall, growing up in a working class family, his stepdad a carpenter. The Bible tells us he wasn't handsome in appearance. No one looked at Jesus and thought, that's the one who's going to save the world. He looked like an ordinary man from an ordinary family, but he was anything but ordinary, and he would change the world. And he would change it, not by being someone weak that made himself strong, but by being someone strong that made himself weak. And ladies and gentlemen, that's the way God works in this world. He's not looking for someone weak to make himself strong. He's looking for someone strong to make himself weak. So the question is, never are you rich enough? Are you smart enough? Are you gifted enough? The question is always, are you weak enough for God to use? Are you weak enough to take your little life, broken as it may be, put it in the hands of God, watch him transform it and use it to change the world? I remember one of the worst days I had as a youth pastor. I went to visit a young lady in my church that had attempted suicide. Grew up in abject poverty. Her house is one of the most impoverished houses I've ever seen in the United States of America. I went to visit her, asked her why she had attempted suicide. I couldn't get any answers from her, was making no headway, and I finally asked her, do you really believe that God loves you? And she said, no, I don't believe God loved me. If I believed that, he'd have to change all the things that are messed up in my life. I began to tell her what Jesus had done for her, how he had died for her, how he had died for her. And by the time that I had explained the gospel to that young lady, tears were pouring down her face, and I asked her again, now do you believe that God loves you? And if you did, would that give you a reason to live? And she said, yes, I believe God loves me, and it would give me a reason to live. Listen to me, and I'm done. The issue of God's love for you, as broken as you may be, was settled once and for all on the cross of Calvary. And I want to ask you this morning, do you really believe that God loves you? Not just some future version of you, not just some updated version of you. Do you really believe that God loves you just as you are? If you believe that, it'll free you. You won't live for the approval of other people because you'll know you have the approval of God. Here's the good news this morning. Though we are all like Leah, through Christ, he sees us as Rachel.
You've been listening to a message from Pensacola Christian College. You're welcome to pass this sermon along to others. Please don't charge for it or alter it without written permission from Pensacola Christian College. For additional information about PCC, visit us online at pcci.edu. Pensacola Christian College, empowering Christian leaders to influence the world for Christ.